Amen. How many of you know that a church needs a very good atmosphere to operate? Hallelujah. For the church to be effective and also be a blessing, we need a certain atmosphere. Hallelujah. We need a certain atmosphere so that we can flow and then God will also move in our midst. Amen. We need an atmosphere of what? Love, atmosphere of unity, and we need the presence of God to be in our midst. The last thing you need in a church is the presence of the devil. And you know the devil can come to church. The devil can come to church. The Bible says that the sons of men were gathered, and Satan was also there. He was also there. And if God's people gather and Satan is there, then you can be assured that there will only be confusion. There will only be confusion. So we need to have a good atmosphere where it will not be very easy for Satan to be around. Hallelujah. It will not be easy for Satan to be around. When Satan is around, there are a lot of things that happen wherever Satan is. And when the church gathers and Satan is also there, somebody may say, how can Satan be where the church has gathered? You can go and ask God how he managed to be there when the sons of men gathered and then Satan was also there. He can come when you create the atmosphere for him to come. Amen. And so there are certain atmosphere that we don't need to create for the devil to be around. Amen. If you read the book of James, James chapter 13, verse 14 and 15, 14 and 15, say that, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. The sentence I'm looking for is, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. That means that atmosphere, envy and strife, or a certain kind of atmosphere, can create confusion. Can create confusion. And where there is confusion, nothing can happen. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, that God is not an author, or God is not the author of confusion. God doesn't like places where there's confusion, and he wouldn't bring confusion. Hallelujah. But there are certain things that create a certain atmosphere for Satan to thrive and for evil work to go on. Amen. And so today we want to talk about some of these things that we need to deal with so that we can have a very good atmosphere. Hallelujah. We can have a very, very, very good atmosphere so that we can have a very good presence anytime we come into the presence of God. Amen. The best atmosphere you want is the atmosphere of love, isn't it? Because God is love. The best atmosphere you have is the atmosphere of love. That is why we even teach a lot about loyalty. We teach a lot about loyalty. Because what we are doing is that we are creating an atmosphere. We are creating an atmosphere for God to be present. And it's just about changing our hearts, changing our mind, changing our lives. So that's when God moves, you see. But we need to deal with the presence of Satan so that when we come, you get it, when we come, God can move. Now, you have to drive away the devil from your midst. So let's read Revelation chapter 12. When we say the presence of Satan, we have to know what it is. You get it? We have to know what it is, and then we will not allow Satan's presence to be in our midst. Revelation 12, verse 10. And I heard a voice, that's Revelation, the book of Revelations. And I heard a loud voice in heaven. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Now is come what? Salvation and strength. Strength to overcome. Strength to defeat the devil. Strength to move on as a Christian. Now is come. And then the kingdom of our God. And then the power. How many of you want to see the power of our Christ? When the power of God is around, wow, the devil cannot stand. You will not live the same as you come to the presence of God. For there's power in his presence. Hallelujah. Now, why has it now come? It means then it wasn't. So why has it now come? Because the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Hallelujah. So Satan is very powerful in heaven. He is called the accuser, those who accuse you. In heaven, he is described as the accuser of the brethren. And when the accuser is around, many things cannot happen. Many atmospheres you want cannot happen. Many breakthroughs you want to see cannot happen. Until the accuser is dealt with. And the accuser is cast out. Satan's presence will be there. Sometimes when people are binding the devil and cast the devil out of the church, and devil, I cast you, they don't know that, you see, there are things that you have to rather deal with. That stands for the devil. So when there's strife, there's envy, there's all sort of things, and there's accusations. It means whatever you are binding, and you are maybe also part of it, you are actually destroying what you are doing. Amen. So, we need to cast out the devil. Even in the heavens, things started happening only when the accuser was cast out. Amen. Now, there are ways to deal with the accuser. The same accuser is the spirit that brings disloyalty. It's the spirit that brings confusion. Accuser is Satan himself. Hallelujah. And he's accusing them day and night. And he has brothers and sisters, cousins and aunties that he works with. When you identify him and you deal with him, all the others will be dealt with. Are you here with me? Great. So the presence that you need to deal with the accuser, the presence that you need to deal with the accuser. You see, because when you have a certain presence, you don't struggle. You know that. When you have a certain presence, you don't struggle. You don't struggle. But when the presence is not there, you struggle. So we want to fight for a presence. Presence of God. An atmosphere. Atmosphere of the Spirit. And the atmosphere of the Spirit comes when there is the presence of love. When there is a presence of love. Amen. So how do we create that atmosphere? And what do you do to create that atmosphere? Now, if you go to this book, Those Who Are Ignorant, these are all loyalty series. These are all weapons to use against the accuser, to use against the devil, and to create powerful atmosphere. If you go to chapter 4 of that book,
you will see six principles of loyalty that will help you to create a good atmosphere. Because it will help you to deal with the accuser, deal with the atmosphere of disloyalty, atmosphere of confusion, atmosphere of strife, so that no evil thing can thrive in our midst. Amen. And so, what are these principles? What are these medications? What are these weapons that we should use against the devil? Hallelujah. What are these that we can use against the devil? Once the sons of God gathered, and then Satan appeared. And when he went to accuse somebody. Accuse somebody. And then God took action by changing the person's clothes so that Satan's accusations was neutralized. Hallelujah. So we need certain things to neutralize Satan's presence, Satan's work, Satan's activities to create confusion. Amen. And these are principles that will create that atmosphere. I would say principles of love. But here we say six principles of loyalty. And what's the first principle? What's the first principle? The first principle is that a loyal person exposes wrongdoers to the leadership. You know, wrongdoers in the midst of the congregation cause a lot of problems, bring a lot of things you don't want in the congregation. Hallelujah. If you allow wrongdoers to flourish in the midst of the church, of the congregation, you are going to create a bad atmosphere for the devil to have a field day and to have his way. So one of the things that we need to do as a church to create and maintain that atmosphere for God to move, for God to be here, for God to make a way for us, for God to do miracles, is to be loyal people. And I said that a loyal person exposes wrongdoers, wrongdoers in the midst of the congregation to the leadership. 1 Corinthians 5:1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not as much, so much as named among even the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. The people have gone beyond. But the principle here is that something was going on. As Paul was going around doing the work of God, as the pastor was preaching, as the church was going on, and we are happy in church, something was going on in the church. And you can see that Paul didn't know. Holy Ghost didn't show Paul. Paul didn't know. But it was reported by somebody who was eager to see the presence of God. By somebody who was hungry for God to change his or her life. By somebody who realized, actually, this thing that we are doing is not a joke. We need the presence of God. We need God in our midst. So, as the person was around and saw that these things were happening, they realized that no, this cannot be allowed to go on. Amen. This cannot be allowed to go on. And how can you see that there is fornication? It means that as you are with the people, the things they say, the things they do, as you visited them, the person you saw walk out of the room, And all those things show that there was fornication. There was things, there were things happening. Amen. And they did not keep quiet. They did not keep quiet. So those of you who are in church and you know that there is fornication.
Let me stress on this then. I mean, there are other things. You get it.
But there is fornication. How many of you here know that there is fornication? You know that there is fornication and not that, but all evil things. I'm just using this to point out that they were wrongdoers were exposed. Do you get it? Fornication is not the only thing. But I'm just saying that wrongdoers were exposed.
You need to expose wrongdoers if you see it happening. You know, sometimes people are in the church and they say, well, me, I don't really care whatever he's doing. It's his life. It's her life. It's not his life. It's not her life. First of all, we must one another, each other's keeper. Do you get it? We must love one another. And we must be each other's keeper. And secondly, whatever fornication that was going on in the church which was reported was affecting all of them. Was affecting all of them. Because when you come to church and there is a flow, the presence of God is here, wouldn't you benefit from it? You benefit from it. So don't ever say it doesn't concern me. It's his life, it's her life. Apart from the father, you have to love the person. Do you get it? Love the person and let the person's problem be your problem. Out of love. Not out of malice or whatever. Out of love. You must also know that it's going to affect you. So, it was reported. It was reported. And you see that for the atmosphere of love and atmosphere of loyalty to be around, we must have people who would expose wrongdoers. And when I'm not talking about, so are you asking us to be gossips? Are you asking us to be KGB? Listen. I am saying that you should expose wrongdoers in the midst of the brethren. Amen. That's all that I'm saying. In the midst of the brethren. If you see any Christian sister, any Christian brother, you see, what is wrong? What is wrong? It's when you see any Christian sister, maybe you saw Sister Z, and Sister Z was doing something bad. Instead of reporting to the leadership, you rather go to Brother X and go and tell Brother X. After Brother X, go and see Sister Y. And by the time you realize, all the people in the church know about it apart from the leadership of the church. And that by the time the leadership of the church gets to know, you see, that is what we call the atmosphere of confusion, strife, and all sort of things. So you need to report. And let me tell you something. Anybody who tries to be loyal can incur hatred. You'll be hated. Yeah. Are you understand what I'm saying? Look, I'm preaching deliverance service today. I tell you, powerful blessings is what I'm preaching to you today. You don't even know how the devil is not happy with me. Yeah. People who usually expose wrongdoers are not liked. Are not liked. Sometimes we have various chat groups that we have. And sometimes when you are on the chat and something comes on, and you see that somebody stands against it, and the person starts to speak the truth, the person starts to correct, and you see that others will be coming and say, oh, take your time. Be cool. Be this. And sometimes you see that when people finish, they will be talking among us. Hey! Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, no, no. It's like, it's as soon as you come on, they have a certain, they even say this about you when you are not around. But they know that as for you, you would expose wrongdoers. Hey! But you are the one doing the right thing, in case you don't know. The rest are devils. And they are helping the work of Satan to go on. Let's go to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis 37. Let's look at the example of Joseph.
You see, because, you know, many people think that Joseph was loved because he was the last born. But that was not the reason. He wasn't loved because he was loved. He was loved because he was exposing wrongdoing. He was exposing wrongdoing. He wouldn't allow wrongdoing to be in the church for more than 2 days. As soon as he hears, and the good people who hear and tell, their mind is that I'm hearing and telling so that it will be solved. That's the good people. Amen. Now look at Joseph in Genesis 37:2. He says, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the Lord was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. So he had stepbrothers. And they were all together feeding the father's flock. When he was 17, he would go with them and everything. And the Bible said that, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Hey. Joseph brought unto their father what? Their evil report. In other words, they were doing some wrong things. Saying some wrong things. Misbehaving. And Joseph would not take it. He would not keep it. And it's also means that until Joseph came, it was good, but no one was saying it. The father would think that I have 17 sheep, but then the sheep are sent to fight. No, no, that they were killing them and eating them. But no one would say it. No one would say it. But Joseph brought up evil report. You may be in a ministry. Something is happening in that ministry. Instead of exposing the wrong to leadership, not to gossip the wrong to people. Anybody who sees anything wrong and you report to somebody who is like you. Who's your level? It means that you are a gossip. It means you are a devil. It means you have started the process of becoming an accuser. But why are you talking to somebody at your level who cannot solve the situation? You only want to go and muddy the waters. That's the only thing you want to do. That's the only thing you want to do. You only want to go and muddy the waters. You heard that a brother has done something. The sister has done something. What is your business in talking to another person of your level about it? Don't you know how to go to... Who did Joseph go to? Who did Joseph go to? Joseph went to the father. He went to the father to report. Amen. And look at what happened to Joseph after that. Genesis 37:3. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Israel loved Joseph more than... So, this is why he loved, not because he was the last born. Not because he was the last born. It's because he was exposing wrongdoing and wrongdoers. He couldn't tolerate the things going on in the church. Hallelujah. And because of that, he made him a coat of many colors. May God bless you as you stand for the love, the unity, and the flow of the church in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That is what he did. He exposed. So if you are in church and you know that anything is going on that is bringing disunity, that is calling the church, whatever, you need to come out and say it. You are not a bad person. You get it? You are only going to help what is happening. Many people, if you have exposed things, some people have left church, would have been in church. When they came to you, as if they were joking, and they were saying bad things, and you didn't say at the time you should have said it. You know, often people leave church, people, things happen. So we saw it, oh, we saw it, but we didn't know how to say it. How do you have to say it? What you saw is what you say. How do you want to say it? Yes, what do you want to say? Are you here with me? So you need to expose wrongdoers. Everybody must be each other's keeper in the church. Everybody must be each other's keeper in the church. When we say each other's keeper, that's what it means. That we will not allow anybody in your mind. You will not allow anybody one to leave the church. You will not allow anybody to go to hell. So that when you see it, don't joke with some of these things. Some of you are here. People are doing bad. People are saying things against the church and everything. And you don't care. You don't know that you are destroying your own future. Amen. What's the other one? Number two. A member is a disloyal person. A member is a disloyal person. This is a principle. A member, someone who members, he or she creates an atmosphere of confusion where the work of God cannot go on. The presence of God cannot be felt. The person muddies the waters. Member. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without what? Memories and disputings. And memory is when a person speaks about issues in undertones. You know, things are happening. And then, instead of talking about it openly, you have heard something. Instead of talking about it openly, you rather speak undertones. And so people murmur because they feel that they cannot openly voice their opinions. You see, this is what happens. So you have something you don't like or something going on. Instead of going to ask, instead of voicing your opinion, you don't talk, you don't say anything, and yet when you see others, the same person who doesn't talk when there's a meeting, who doesn't talk when people are around, when there are other people there, then you start saying things. You start saying things behind the back of the leadership. It is called memory. And it's a very dangerous thing. It's so dangerous that some of you think that things like fornication, adultery and things are things that are just so you don't do this or you're okay. But these things are very dangerous. If you have people in the church who remember, they take one person of the church, go and sit there and talk about the person. And then when there's something going on in the church, instead of coming to sit down and ask the leader or ask the pastor, they will not, especially when they have meetings, they won't talk. Then they will, after the meetings, ask, so what he said, what did you think about it? But were you not at the meeting? You not at the meeting. So whatever you were thinking, why didn't you ask at the meeting? It's because it's in your mind. You think that, I cannot talk. Who told you cannot talk, you cannot speak? And if you can't talk, then don't talk anywhere. Because otherwise you are bringing confusion. It's dangerous. So look at Numbers chapter 14. Memory is very dangerous. So come and ask. Come and talk. Come and discuss. And let nobody be able to come to you to come and murmur about something that has gone on, about something that is going on, and say that. Tell the person, look, what you are telling me. Do you get it? I am going to ask the person. We work on it, and so that there will be a flow. Is that also? I don't think you are telling me so that I will like you more than the other person, or so. I don't think that's your mind, isn't it? Your mind is so that it will be, everything will be okay. All of us will flow. That's what you are telling me. So when you tell me, then I will tell you that I'm going to tell the other person. Yeah. Recently, I was with somebody, and I said something to the person told me that, oh, the reason why I didn't feel comfortable talking was because of this person. And I said, oh, is that so? Then tell the person. I said, then tell the person. Do you get it? So, he told the person. And I also told the person. And I told the person, look, what the person is saying is true or not, at least he has voiced what is in his heart. He has voiced it. Would you rather that the person will keep it and always have that mind about you? Wouldn't you rather like it that the person has said it and you have heard it and probably have an opportunity to explain yourself? Wouldn't you rather like it that way? I would prefer it that way, that I'm walking with you and I know what you are thinking about. And you also know what I'm thinking about. But I'm walking with you, I don't know what you are thinking about. And you know what I'm thinking about, but I don't know what you are thinking about. It's not good at all. Hallelujah. So when anybody comes and tells the word, even when a person comes to ask you a question, like, how come we don't see this person again in the church? Ask the person, I wonder who keeps the church's register. Yes, sir. Why are you coming to ask me how come we don't see this person in church again? Am I the one who keeps the church's register? Go to the ministry shepherd where ask the ministry shepherd. Go to the pastor where ask the pastor. Why you are? You see, often when they come like that, they have a mind. You see, Satan is wild. Don't be ignorant. You are come there. Satan serve you and he has studied you and realize that you are the next one he can target for you to fall. That's why he has suddenly sent his agent to come and be asking you questions. You are not the head of the church. You are not the pastor. You are not the head, ministry shepherd. So why is it you are the one that those questions are being asked? Hey. So, I said Numbers what? Numbers 14, verse 2. And all Israel, all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we have died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we have died in this wilderness? And wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and return into Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will these people provoke me? Hey! So God was getting angry with the memory. How long will it be before they believe me for all the signs which I have shown to them? And then you realize that the Bible says that at the end of the day, all those who murmured, they didn't get to the promised land. So you see that it is not a good thing to murmur. 1 Corinthians 10:10 says that, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Were destroyed by the destroyer. So please, don't speak to any person under your breath. Sometimes you go and say, so what do you think about the preaching? It's a process of starting and murmuring. What do you think about this? So how did you see the way the thing went? How did you do? Why did that? It's all a way of bringing confusion. And in the church, there are people like that. How many of you know some? Oh, they didn't come to church today. Today they didn't come to church. Okay. Thank God they are not here today. Hallelujah. Anytime you ask a member, what do you think? They always say that we have nothing to say. Meanwhile, they have something to say. Hey. So sometimes when we have meetings and somebody comes to you and the person says, ask the person, so why didn't you say it at the meeting? Why didn't you say it? We all had a meeting. Why didn't you say, I didn't want to say because me, I know this, when I say, they say I'm this and that. You see, son-in-law of the devil. Son-in-law of the devil. Hallelujah. Now, another thing you should know, that another principle you should know, if you have to fight this devil who destroys the atmosphere so that we cannot flow and do what we have to do, is that disloyalty is the fruit of ignorance. It's the fruit of ignorance.
That is why I said that you shouldn't be ignorant. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. It says, let Satan should get an advantage of us. The next part is that, for we are not ignorant. We are not ignorant of his devices. Ignorance breeds disloyalty. We are not ignorant of his devices. And so you realize that one of the ways to deal with ignorance and to deal with disloyalty is to study history. In other words, know about what you are doing. If you are in the church, know about the church. If you are in a group, know about the group. If you are in a if you have a friend, know about the friend. That is why when we come for marriage counseling, those who are going to get married, we tell them that we quote the verse that the man and the woman, they were both naked and they were not ashamed. And we talk about historical nakedness. That means that talk about your past. Don't let anything be a surprise. Don't let anything be a surprise. One lady, she told the man before he got married, that I'm a virgin. I'm a virgin. And then the man married. And the man went to the honeymoon. But the man was not a virgin. He was an unbeliever. And so he knew a lot, one or two things. So when they went for the honeymoon, the man realized that this thing is not a virginized thing at all. It's not a virginized thing at all. There is something about the thing. Because by his experience, he has quite a lot of experience, so he knew what is a virgin, what is a virgin. So he took the lady to the pastor. I'm telling you a true story, not here, somewhere else in the world. He took the lady to the pastor and said, Pastor, I am confused. He said, why are you confused? He said, my wife has hidden something from me. My wife has not been naked. My wife has not been open. She didn't tell me all the history. The pastor said, why? He said that she said she was a virgin. But when I went, I realized that she wasn't a virgin. And the woman said, I'm a virgin. The man said, you are not a virgin. So the pastor said, how do you know she's not a virgin? After the man finished what he knew, then the woman confessed and said, it's true. Oh, what a shock. You see, some of you, I'm talking to you, isn't it? History. Know about the history. Know about the church. So that when anything is happening, history will let you, will help you to understand things and can even let you know how things will end. Because there's nothing new under the sun. You need to say it. If you don't say it, and the person gets to know, it is going to be a basis for confusion. Is that not so? So we say be naked. Be open. Talk about the history of the thing. Because ignorance will breed disloyalty. And this ignorance also means that some people, because of ignorance, can easily be swayed by disloyalty or by people. If you don't know, for example, if you're in the church and you don't take time and find time to know about this church, and somebody comes and says, oh, all the offering they are taking, why are they always taking offering like that? They are chopping the money. That's why they see. Unless you are ignorant, you are an ignorant person in this church, you will never believe this thing. Because everyone who is in this church knows what we do with the money. And even if you don't know at all, there is a site, a website that you can go and see all projects that is going on. So how come somebody can, do you remember the service Osaki said, how come somebody can whisper to your ears
that they are here for your money, and because of that you left the church and backslided. How come? How come? How come you believed something like that? That as he is there talking about tithe, talking about offering, for you to break through, somebody is whispering to your ear that, oh, it's your money they want. It's your money they want. It's not your soul that they are interested in. And because of that, you don't pay tithe, you don't give offering, you are in the church. Because somebody has told you that thing. Somebody has told you that. So you don't participate in anything. But if you know the history of the church, if you know the things we are doing, you even ask yourself, where do they get money from? I mean, that's the question. You rather ask yourself, so where does the money come from? Because what I give is so small compared to what they are doing. So how would I even believe that it can be true that this and this person, the money is being used for this? Hallelujah. So we need to know history. We don't have to be ignorant of the devices of Satan. That is why Paul told Timothy that, look, you have fully known, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10. 2 Timothy 3 verse 10. Paul was telling Timothy to know the history, his history and his background, so that if anybody comes or anything is said, he will know what to say, what to do. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. You have fully known what? My doctrine. If you are in the church, you should fully know the doctrine of the church. You should know. Don't just be ignorant and anything anybody says, you just believe it. Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Amen. You fully know my ways. You know what we are doing. Because of that, you are also persuaded of what you have believed. Amen. Because of that, you are also persuaded of what you have believed, so that you will not just believe anything out of ignorance. You don't believe anything out of ignorance. And so many people who fall prey to the devil's schemes, they do so out of ignorance. They don't take time to ask questions. They don't take time to learn. They don't take time to know the history of the church. And they just talk. Amen. So when such people come to you, do who know? You should tell them, no, I don't think so. And I don't believe it. And then I'm going to ask so that I will know. Amen. Another principle that we need to learn here about ignorant people who are led into confusion is that disloyalty is a fruit of immaturity. It is those who are not, people who are not matured. I'm preaching from this to those who are ignorant. It's people who are not matured who easily fall into this kind of things by the devil. Those who are not matured. Amen. Immature people easily believe things that will break the unity of the brethren, that will spoil the church, that will spoil the fellowship. Immature people are the people who will not go and expose wrongdoers, but they will join them. In 2 Samuel chapter 15 verse 11, Bible says, and with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their what? They went in their what?
Simplicity.
They went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. Hey! How can you follow something you know nothing about? How? How can you follow something you know? It means that you are not matured. You are not matured. And that is why people are not matured, that's why so many things can happen. People ask, many people ask, that why do you have all these good people around you? Why do you have all these good people around you? It's because over time, they have been taught about this. So they are not simple again. I mean, there are some people here, no matter what you tell them, no matter what you tell them, they will not bring confusion in the church. They will not murmur, they will not complain. Whatever you tell them, they will come and ask, or they will come and say it. And they will also not leave that, they will not be destroyed, because they are matured enough. They are not simple in their minds. How can someone like King David be there, and his son will rebel against him, and you follow King David's son? How are you thinking? How do you think? King David. You know King David? Yeah, his son rebelled against him. And his son was called Absalom. And the Bible said that some people followed him. But they followed him in the simplicity of their minds. Simplicity. And they didn't know what they were even doing. They didn't understand what was happening. And that's how some of you are. You are in the church. You are in a ministry. One ministry shepherd or one something does something. Say, me, I'm following this person. You don't even know what is happening. You don't even know what is happening. You don't even come to church again because you don't see this, but you don't know what has happened before that person is not coming to church. But in your immaturity and simplicity of mind, you are just creating confusion around. But if you want to take yourself out of the grip of the devil, so Satan will not use you, you have to grow up and be matured. You have to grow up and understand things. You have to grow up and know that there are certain things that are needed for the church to do well. You have to grow up to understand. You have to know certain things. Maybe one day we'll talk about those things, but you have to know certain things. Look, this is possible. This is possible. If you are matured, amen. If you are matured, you leave things for the Father to deal with. If you are matured, hallelujah. And let me tell you, loyalty today does not mean loyalty tomorrow. Hey, loyalty today does not mean loyalty tomorrow. That means that you can be loyal today. You may not be loyal tomorrow. What are we doing? We are dealing with the spirit that causes division and spoils the atmosphere in the church. That's what we are dealing with. Hallelujah. And that is why you need to know all this. These are some of the processes of making you matured. So next time, when somebody comes to tell you any of those things again, you tell the person, not today. Now I am matured. Those that used to tell me things, I wouldn't say anything. Now I'm mature. You cannot come and sit in my house and say anything and go away. I will go and ask. I'll go and tell. I'll go and find out. Amen. Loyalty today, what does it mean? It means that, you see, Satan will never leave you. That's a church. What we are doing here, Satan is not happy with it at all. And he will never ever rest until what he wants to do, he does it. So what it means that we should also not rest. We should also not rest. We should also keep fighting. And fighting. And fighting. Amen. For you to come to church and see that Lady Pastor Rita is sitting here from the time the day started. It means we have fought the devil. It means we have fought the devil. To see that Bishop Mountie is sitting here from the time the church started. It means we have fought the devil. You have no idea. If you stop fighting, and you have seen people can be loyal today, tomorrow they will not be loyal. Yes, and the Bible, we have a lot of examples like that. That somebody was loyal to, if you look at Joab. Joab at one point was loyal to David against Absalom. He stood with David against Absalom. But another time, he became disloyal and supported Adonijah, who is another son of David, against David. That is why you have to shine your eyes and be alert and know that the mere fact that you are sitting here shouting, you know, sometimes I've seen people who were Orangu fighters, Orangu killers, tell me that if you become disloyal, they will crush you. They are the ones who will crush you. But the time came that those who were Orangu crushers themselves became Orangus. Hey! What a shock. That is why we have to be constantly alert. And that's why I even need to tell you this. You get it? So that just in case, you are beginning to support Adonijah, you will stop it. Because you are bringing confusion. Amen. So that is why sometimes when you are in the church and you form some kind of group, that the group is there for a very long time and they begin to have their own conversations, their own things, and but they have drifted from the main group of people, the main group, because as time goes on they begin to talk among themselves, say things and this and that and that, and they believe in something else. And they become disloyal. Because one person in the group will say something. And then somebody will not come and expose it. Are you here with me? So we are dealing with confusion. We are dealing with the devil. That we should fight disloyalty. And we should be ignorant. In fact, you should fight disloyalty with maturity. Grow up. Hallelujah. Grow up. Let me look for the next one so that only loyal people catch the anointing. Hey. Hey. What breaks the yoke? What sets you free?
The anointing.
What will remove the mountains?
The anointing.
Bible said that loyal people will get anointed. Because a loyal person is one, as I told you last week, when you get to the point of receiving somebody as a father, you are persuaded that this person that I'm following has a good heart, despite the problem, despite whatever, has a good heart, is honest, is that you are persuaded. So you receive the person in a certain way. And when you receive the person in that way, you also catch anointing. You also catch anointing. So a loyal person is like a faithful person. Somebody who has stayed for a very long time, long period. You know, there are some conditions when you create, you cannot but be blessed. And one of those conditions is faithfulness. Yes, even in companies and they have long service awards. You may not have done anything in the company. You may not have added anything, but just because you have been there for a long time, they say they are awarding all those who have been there for 25 years. May you receive a long service anointing award today in the name of Jesus. For all you know, there are times that the angel of the Lord come to the church to give long service awards in the church. If you haven't done anything, or not that we went to pray, not that you went to do anything, but just that, what church? You are MBA in the church. You are MBA in the church. You will receive the anointing of the church. Yeah. That one, you have not even done anything. You don't even join any ministry. You don't do anything, but you are just there. Hey! Methuselah in the church. Let people laugh at you and call you all sort of names, but you shall receive an anointing in Jesus' name. Today, Lord, may some long service award for some faithful people, and may it come in stages. Those who have been around for 20 years. Those who have been around for 10 years. Those who have been around for 5 years. Give them some stages and particular awards in the name of Jesus. Hey! You see, some of you as I'm talking, you can't say yes. You can't say anything. Because you have never been able to join one church. You have never been able to join one church. You go to, today you are in Assemblies of God, you are in Pentecost, Apostolic Church, Presby, this one, I talk about long service award. You don't know which organization, which church is going to give you that award. What anointing is going to fall on you with that award? Determine in your heart that you are going to be around forever. Hallelujah. Yes. Take your seat. You see the long service people, they are all standing because they are so sure that they've been around for long. Long service award. Hallelujah. God rewards faithfulness. But faithfulness comes as a result of being loyal and creating an atmosphere of loyalty. When in your heart, you have purpose that you will not allow anything to shift your, let your heart shift. And you will not allow any bad thing to thrive in the church. Hallelujah. So loyalty does what? Exposes. Let's go over it. That's number one. That's what?
Exposes wrongdoers.
Wrongdoers. And see, when you're exposing wrongdoers, I've shown you what to do. It is not to talk to your level about wrongdoing. You have to talk to the person who can do something about it. Talking to your level about it means that you are trying to cause confusion. You are gossiping. You are bringing strife. You are spoiling people's images. How do you call that thing? Slander. Huh? You are slandering. You have a bad motive. Hallelujah. That is what you have. What's the next one?
It's a disloyal person.
Memoring. Speaking undertone. Look, for you to be able to stay in a church or in a group and last, it means that whatever you don't understand, ask the right people. Don't keep it to yourself. And then don't sit down and let us, I'm preaching, you don't understand something. Then when you go say, and they're preaching the other day, and they preach, are you the devil? Are you the accuser of the brethren? We said we are talking about the accuser of the brethren. So what's your problem? And if you don't understand, look, let me tell you something. In Africa, when you are bringing up children, in our culture, they said that people can't ask questions. People cannot ask questions. So even when your child is asking questions, oh, sure. Penisam is saying in English. Adult matters. Adult matters. No. This is beyond you. This cannot be. So we don't allow people to talk. But let me tell you, in this church, there's nothing secret. You can come and ask. Only pray about it. Because some of them are going to ask. Maybe they have been answered already. You can come and ask. You can come and ask. Why is Georgina not singing today? Come and ask. Come and ask. Amen. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and it shall find. Come and ask the right source. So don't, it's when you don't ask questions that you remember. Memory makes you are speaking on the toes. Why is this, this? Why is that, that? Why is that suspicious and this like that? Amen. What's the next one?
Disloyalty is the fruit of ignorance.
Sorry? Ignorance. Ignorance. Many people see ignorance also means that see don't be ignorant of the devastating effect of disloyalty. Don't be ignorant of the fact that my membrane can cause problems. Don't be ignorant of the devices of the devil. That what I am saying has the potential to send somebody to hell. Don't be ignorant of it and just talk by heart. Just talk by heart. If I that day that Bishop Saki said that story, I was so sad. So sad. That someone who is so, people are so happy in church. Do you remember when he said it? And as the pastor was preaching, somebody just whispered, twins, whispered their ears. They are only interested in your money. These people are not interested, they are only interested in your money. And because they were also rich. when they were also rich, they left the church. One became a drug addict. One backslided. They all backslided. Just because somebody see, so don't think that these things are just, I'm just saying something. They're not just saying something. You are acting as an agent of the devil to cause people. Some people have left church because of something that you said that they heard. You said it and they heard. Ever since then, they have not been in church again. Or you whisper something in their ears. You whisper something in their ears. Up to now, they cannot come and shake that thing off them. And they are still in the world, or they are still outside the church. Amen. What else?
Disloyalty is the fruit of immaturity.
Immaturity. Grow up. Tell the next person, say, grow up.
Grow up.
Grow up and know that there's no perfect thing in this world. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect family. There's no perfect person in this world. Grow up. Ever since we were born again, you have still remained a baby. Grow up and know that what you think you know, that the pastor is allowing the person to still do whatever he's doing. He also knows that he is growing. He has grown up. Grow up. Amen. Some people are saying, you have become born again for 5 years. You are old. You are 60 years and yes, you don't have any teeth. You are drinking milk. Grow up and know that, look, as a church, we have a lot to do. We are not here to play games. We are here to, that's why, when are we doing the multiplication campaign? We are here to win souls. As we are here, people go, before we come here, people go out there, buses, to go and do evangelism and bring people to church and all those type of things. It's a serious matter. It's not a joke. Amen. What's the next one? Don't think that, you see, that's why, you see, you should always have a certain attitude and have a relationship with God so that you are not led astray. Because somebody can be loyal today, but for all you know, the person is changing. And you are with the person. Don't be deceived. You should see that, no, this person is changing or has changed. You should see it, that this person is changing or has changed. Because already you know from history, that loyalty today doesn't mean loyalty tomorrow. Because we have seen that Joab was loyal at one point, but another time, he was disloyal. And by the way, as for disloyalty, there are stages of disloyalty. There are some people who can be very, very disloyal, but will never manifest as full disloyal people. Open rebellion. Yeah. There are some people like that. They have mild disloyalty. That some people can have malaria pastors and say, but they don't have full blown malaria. But when you walk with a certain affair, our tendency is a career. Amen. That's why you have to be careful. Because something that somebody can handle, because there are some people there, they will never leave the church. Oh. But when you talk to them, you rather will leave the church. And they are always around. And you ask yourself, why is that? You are around, but you are asking me to go. You are making me go. Why are you around? You yourself, that's why I said you should grow up. Because those questions are the things you should ask yourself. Amen. And the last one is what?
Only loyal. You catch the anointing.
Amen. Because God will bless you. God will bless you. There's anointing. Because see, the church is God's work. God is using the church to do mighty things. The other day, somebody had a dream, a vision. You see, God is using the church to fight his battle. Somebody had a vision. In the vision, a pastor was preaching. The pastor was preaching. The pastor went to somebody in the congregation. And then I think the pastor said something. And then the spirit in the person started manifesting. And then they attacked the pastor. They attacked the pastor. What I'm trying to say is that, look, the work is against the devil. The work is against the devil. For you to sit here Sunday like this, you look at the person sitting next to you. This person sitting next to you should have been under somebody's bed sheet. Look at the person again. Maybe she's coming from there, but you look at the person again. Should have been somebody's sugar mommy or sugar daddy. Should be doing sakawa or all those of those things. But because of the church, hopefully, because the church, so the devil is not happy at all with the church. You get, it's always fighting it. It's always fighting it. And so let's stand with this thing that we are hearing. You see, because the shouting are shouting in the bushes and the park there. You can shout and say, if these things are in the church, you are wasting your time. The devil is there. If it's not after your prayer meeting, after you finish praying at the park or your all night, when you finish, you know, then you start manifesting the devil. Hey, did you even hear the prayer topic the way he was praying? So what did you do? You have neutralized all the binding and the loosening of Satan you went to do. Hey, that's not all. But may we not spoil this fight. Amen. May we not spoil it with all these type of things. May we fight to remain loyal. May we fight to love one another. To love is a fight. Oh. To love. Even normal husband and wife. Sorry, I'm coming home. Okay. Even normal husband and wife, to love is a fight. Hey, to love. And when you come to church, I think we should say that till death shall do us part. So that the love decides that, look, you can't leave me, I can't leave you. Hey, maybe one of these days we have to come and sign marriage. We are married to God. You can't leave me, I can't leave you. That is the love. That's the love. So you fight. Because sometimes what is separating you, that's why don't be ignorant of the devices of the devil. What is separating you is actually Satan, but not anything that has happened. If you are not matured, Satan will always be serving you. Yeah, that's why it's a fight. Are you going to fight? You are going to fight. We are going to fight the battle till we win. In the name of Jesus. And let's bow down our heads. Wow. Satan's grip, Satan's hold is weakened. Satan is defeated. His works will not prosper. He will not succeed in his devices. Because the Lord has opened our eyes to deal with those things that he will bring. These things are more dangerous than some of the things that you think are demons. When you see wrongdoing, you don't say anything about it. When you don't do it, they are even more dangerous. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. In the name of Jesus. Now, maybe you came to church on your own. With every eye closed, every head bowed. Maybe you came to church on your own. Or someone invited you. But deep down in your heart, deep down in your heart, as I preached, you felt that God was telling you that he loves you and that you should give your life to him. You felt that God wants you to be born again. God wants you to be saved. And so you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to say, Pastor, my friend brought me. Pastor, I came on my own. But I'm not saved. I'm not born again. And I want to give my life to Jesus. So pray for me to give my life to Jesus. Whilst every head is bowed and every eye is closed, he wants me to pray for you to give your life to Jesus, to be born again. Lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you right now. Just lift it up high above your head and I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. Just lift it up high above your head. He said, Pastor, I don't want to live here today without knowing Jesus. I want to live here with the knowing in my heart that I'm born again. God bless you. 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 Now, if your hand is up, stand to your feet wherever you are. Stand to your feet wherever you are. And then come to me from wherever you are. Put your hands together for them as they come. Come to me from wherever you are. God bless you. Stand to your feet. Come to me from wherever you are. When you say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. I don't want to die and go to hell. As you preached, I felt the love of God in my heart. And I felt God saying, I give your life to me. God bless you. You want to join them to give your life to Jesus? Come. Don't live here without giving your life to Jesus. Don't live here without giving your life to Jesus. Don't live your life, give your life to Jesus. Father, thank you for this one. Now let's bow our heads. I want to make another prayer. Every eye closed. Now, yeah, is he coming? Okay, let him come. Let him come. There's still room for another. God bless you. God bless you. If you want to come, just come. Come. Come and join and let's pray together. It is God who has touched your heart. It is God who has touched your heart, who has changed your life today. Now those of you here, say this with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. I thank you for today. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with your blood. And Lord, from today, Lord, from today, I declare with my mouth that you are Lord. You are the Lord of my life. And you are mine. And I am yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Just take this one. Just this book, this How to Be Born Again and Avoid Hell. Very powerful book. When you read it, you understand so many things about this decision you're taking, and then it will make you matured. Satan cannot come and lie to you again to go back to the world. Now, I want you to follow our dear sister here. They'll take with you, somebody will talk to you for a while, and you'll come back and join with us soon. Amen. Put your hands together for them as they go. Yes. Go with our dear sister here. Put your hands together for them as they go. God bless you. 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 Hallelujah. Now, we want to take our first and best and our tithe. So if you came to share your first and best or your tithe, kindly stand to your feet.